bananas. You asked him to. I didn't have to, Archer replied. I simply explained the problem to him, and he volunteered. Brought a couple of nanotechs with him. They developed your therapeutic nanos on the way here.
Deirdre felt overwhelmed. They did this for me.
His smile widening, Archer said, Frankly, I think Zeb was happy to have an excuse to get back here. He's as curious about the Leviathans as I am. He's the one who turned Dr. Corvus onto the problem of communicating with them.
I'd like to thank him, Deirdre said.
Tomorrow. Right now, Zeb and his two technicians are in the infirmary in the third wheel, being checked out after their high G trip. Hernias, heart arrhythmias, that sort of thing. Also, I'm not sure that I want Mrs. Westfall to know that they're here.
My goodness.
I know that you're supposed to report everything you learn to her, but I hope we can keep this from her, at least for a little while.
Deirdre saw the earnestness in his expression, heard the unvoiced question he was asking her. She hesitated, wondering what she should do, then heard herself say, I won't volunteer any information about Dr. Muzarewa and the nanotech specialists.
Thank you, Archer said. That could be very helpful.
Then, leaning back slightly in his recliner, Archer said,
I noticed that you're early for our little conference.
Feeling almost embarrassed, Deirdre said in a lowered voice, I wanted to ask you...
Yes?
Andy, Dr. Corvus. He wants me to go on the mission with him.
I know. He's very pleased with the ease with which you make contact with the dolphins.
Deirdre realized she was wringing her hands and purposely pressed them flat on the thighs of her creased slacks. I'm not sure that I want to go down there.
Archer sat up a little straighter. You did fine in the immersion tank.
I suppose so, Deirdre said, suppressing a shudder. But I really didn't like it. I don't know if I could stand being in that slimy stuff for days on end.
I know how you feel. I understand. I didn't like it much myself when I was in the soup.
What will happen if I don't go?
With a shrug, Archer said, It just makes Corvus's job that much more difficult. Not that establishing communications with the Leviathans will be easy under any circumstances.
He hesitated a heartbeat, then added,
And, of course, I was hoping that you might be able to make some sense out of the visual imagery the Leviathans use to communicate.
Deirdre faltered, then admitted, I'm afraid. Strangely, Archer smiled at her.
You have every right to be. I'd wonder about your sanity if you weren't.
Clinic. Catherine Westfall found Dr. Mandrell in the middle of his morning rounds, accompanied by two women in white, while moving slowly through the clinic's sole ward. Only 3 of the 10 beds were occupied. With a polite little cough, she caught the portly doctor's attention as she stood by the ward's main door. He frowned at first, but immediately smoothed his expression into a forced smile. After whispering a few words to his aides, he waddled up the aisle between the rows of beds to her.
"This is a surprise," said the doctor in a low tone. "I didn't expect you."
Westfall cut him off.
My time is important, Doctor. I need some information from you, quickly.
As soon as I finish.
Now,
she snapped. Barely suppressing his anger, Dr. Mandrell dipped his double chin and acceded. Now. He led her out of the ward and down the short passageway to his office. Once the door was closed, Mrs. Westfall said,
My informants tell me that a Dr. Muzarewa has arrived here from Selene.
Uzurewa himself?
The doctor's brows hiked up.
He was director of this station before Dr. Archer.
He came with two nanotechnicians.
Indeed.
That's what I've been told.
What would bring the respected Zareb Muzurewa back to Station Gold?
Dr. Mandrill mused.
And with a pair of nanotechs.
That's what I'm asking you.
Mandrill went to his desk and slid heavily into its swivel chair.
Selene is a center for nanotechnology research and development,
he said.
But Muzurewa was a fluid dynamicist, not a nanotech man.
Still standing, Westfall asked,
Could nanotechnology be used to kill the rabies virus?
The doctor blinked his red-rimmed eyes once, twice.
Well?
She demanded.
I suppose it's possible. If one engineers nanomachine disassemblers specifically to attack that particular virus.
They'd need samples of the virus, wouldn't they?
With a heavy-shouldered shrug, Dr. Mandrill replied,
Perhaps not actual samples. Three-dimensional imagery would do, most likely.
Westfall leaned both hands on the back of the chair in front of the doctor's desk.
So they could produce therapeutic nanomachines and use them to kill her virus.
Her?
Understanding dawned on Mandrill's dark face.
Ah, you're talking about Miss Ambrose.
Nanomachines could wipe out her specific type of rabies virus.
Mandrill nodded warily.
If the nanos were specifically designed to attack that variety of virus, it all works by shapes, you know, like keys and locks.
They could cure her, Westfall muttered.
But nanomachines can be dangerous,
the doctor pointed out.
The type of nano you're talking about might be able to disassemble other types of organic molecules as well.
Westfall's eyes brightened.
In street slang, they're called gobblers. The great fear has always been that gobblers would get loose and tear apart everything they come into contact with. It's been called the gray goo problem. That's why nanotechnology is forbidden on Earth. They could reduce everything they touch into a slime of broken molecules.
Gray goo. Yes, I've heard of that.
But of course, in Selene, the nanomachines are handled with great care, with tremendous care. The same would apply here, naturally. Dr. Archer wouldn't allow...
He already has,
Westfall snapped, with a hint of triumph in her voice.
As Deirdre opened the door to Grant Archer's office, she saw he was deep in conversation with a tall, handsome black man. He looked like a statue carved in ebony, very grave, very powerful. Then he turned toward her and smiled, and his face became delightfully human. She recognized him as Zareb Muzurewa.
"You must be Ms. Ambrose," he said, in a deeply resonant voice as he rose to his feet. "Deirdre Ambrose," said Archer, waving Deirdre to a chair beside the black man. "Meet Dr. Muzurewa."
Archer was smiling broadly. He seemed wonderfully pleased to have Muzurewa in the room with him.
"This is the first time Dr. Muzurewa has been out here. In, what is it, Zeb? 10 years?
Muzurewa's brows knit in thought.
"Closer to 12. I must say that you've enlarged the station far more than I ever could, Grant."
Archer shrugged modestly as Deirdre took the chair beside Muzurewa. "I'd like to thank you," she said as she sat down, "for coming all this way to help me." Quite seriously, Muzurewa replied,
"I must confess that it wasn't only to help you. I want to disabuse my idealistic friend here of his notion that the Leviathans are intelligent."
"You're wrong, Zeb," Archer said gently. "They are intelligent."
"Without tools," Muzurewa scoffed. "How could a species develop a high order of intelligence without tools? Tool making is a hallmark of intelligence."
Archer counted.